Chapter 4 is our first text. The next one will be in Philemon, and then the last text will be in 2 Timothy chapter 4. So Colossians chapter 4 and verse 14, Paul the Apostle writing as he concludes the letter to the church at Colossae, Luke the beloved physician greets you, as does Demas. Luke the beloved physician greets you, as does Demas. Now go to Philemon. Philemon is that small one chapter book right before the book of Hebrews. And let's read verse 23 and 24. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. Now, one more place, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. When you come to this text, you find that Paul takes a whole different tone in his, remarks at the end of the letter, and he mentions Demas again. Verse 9, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 9. Do your best to come to me soon. For Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia. Titus to Dalmatia. Luke alone is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is very useful to me for ministry. Well, you probably notice that the common denominator between all those texts is that those are the three texts in the New Testament that mention someone that we know very, very little about, a man by the name of Demas. He's mentioned three times. We're not told much about him. We do know that he at one time was a companion of the Apostle Paul, that Paul at one time viewed him as a fellow worker, a fellow laborer in the ministry. And then we have that terrible statement in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, where we're told that he had basically deserted Paul, forsaken him. He had left him. And Paul gives the reason for that as being that he was in love with this present world. My opinion, even though we don't know much about him, it's one of the most tragic stories in the Bible. And I want to talk a little bit about the tragic story of Demas for just a few minutes tonight. And there's some things that, even though we don't have text, we can assume these things because of the text that we do have. And I want us to think a little bit about these things and consider this person that's, we're given this little glimpse of in the New Testament for a little while tonight. First of all, I think that you would agree with me that it's fair to assume that Demas had at one time professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other reason to believe that Paul would have taken him in, and that Paul would have taken him out to the mission field to do ministry and to do mission work, had Paul not believed, or at least had good hope, that he had been converted. So it's pretty obvious to me that more than likely there came a point when Demas professed to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul would not have spoken of him the way that he spoke of him in the positive text, the text where he said that, Demas is with me and he sends you greetings, or Demas, my fellow worker, is here with me. He would not have taken him on these journeys. He would not have, given him such proximity to the ministry were it not true that at some point and at some time Demas had professed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a reminder to us that there's a lot of people that profess to be believers, and only time will tell whether or not they really are. Now, I don't want to be one of these cynical people, you have to be careful that you don't become cynical to where anybody that professes to be a believer, you immediately look at them and go in your heart, well, you may profess to be a believer, but I'm pretty sure you're not. We don't want to be like that. And that's not the way to be. It is true that the Lord saves sinners. And it is true that God will save anybody that will turn to Him, repent of their sins, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't want to become one of these cynical people that we're suspicious of everybody that says that they're saved. But it is true, and the Bible is absolutely clear on this, that there are many who profess to be saved who are not. Even Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount said, many will say to me in that day, I've done these works and I've done all these different things. And I'm going to say to them, I never knew you. I never knew you. I never had a relationship with you. And they will say, well, Lord, we've done all these wonderful works and we've cast out demons in your names. And Jesus is going to say, he's not going to say, I knew you. And then all of a sudden, you're not mine. He's going to say, I never knew you. You never were mine. So it's a sobering thought. It's a serious thing to think that people like Demas can make a profession of faith and maybe even for a time appear to be saved and not genuinely in the end prove that their faith was real. I don't believe Paul would have taken him had he not professed to be a believer. I don't believe that Paul would have given him such proximity to the ministry and to the work of God were it not that there were at least in some measure some reason for the Apostle Paul to look at Demas and think that he was a believer. So, first of all, it's fair to assume that Demas had professed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Another thing, I think it's also fair to assume that at least for a time, his profession appeared to be real. At least for a period of time, his profession appeared to be genuine. Now, I looked this up. I think it's chapter 14 in our confession. In that chapter, when it talks about saving faith, the ones who wrote the confession spoke about those who were temporary believers, those who for a time appeared to be believers, but in time it was proven that they were not genuine believers. They were just temporary believers or those who profess to be believers. Jesus talked about this in the parables, doesn't he? In the parable of the sower, he talks about, seed that was sown on rocky soil. And it springs up, and you would look at it and think, well, here is going to be a crop. But whenever the sun beat down upon that plant, it withered and it died, because it had no depth, because it had no root, according to the parable. Then some of the seed was cast into thorny ground, and it was ground that was infested with weeds. And, it would spring up, it would appear that it was going to bring forth the crop, and then the weeds would spring up and choke it out, and it would never bring forth any fruit. Jesus explains the parable to us. We don't have to wonder about it. Jesus tells us that these people on the rocky ground are like those who hear the word and they receive it with joy, according to the scripture. They make this, loud and probably a very boisterous profession of faith. But whenever trouble comes, whenever trials come, whenever difficulty comes, they wither and they bring no fruit to perfection. And then the one that's on the thorny ground, it's the weeds that spring up are the cares of this life and the troubles and difficulties that they face in this world. And it chokes the word. The cares of this world choke the word so that they never bring forth any fruit. Jesus himself in his parables talked about those who appeared to be saved for a period of time, but in the end it was proven that they were not. And it's fair to assume that for a period of time at least, Demas appeared to be genuine in his profession of faith. There was a period of time when probably people would have looked at Demas and went, yeah, here's a believer, here's a person working with Paul the Apostle in the ministry, here's a person that his life has been reformed, here's a person that at least for a period of time his life has been changed. But that wasn't the end of the story. So it's fair to assume, number one, that Demas had professed faith in Christ. It's also fair to assume that he, for a period of time at least, appeared to be a genuine believer. Number three, it's fair to assume that he for a period of time seemed to be an engaged and an able minister. I mean, he was with Paul the Apostle. And Paul spoke of him as being a fellow worker, a fellow laborer. So at least there would have been a period of time where he seemed to be a real minister, able, engaged, laboring in the vineyard of the Lord. At least to all the appearances, that's what it would have seemed. He seemed to, in some degree, according to Paul, he seemed to have been involved in the ministry to some degree, and maybe like Judas, he for a time appeared to be a true disciple, and maybe like Judas, who for a time appeared to be a true apostle, only in the end to prove that he was not. And this is probably exactly what happened with Demas. He would have probably been found in some context serving in what, you know, in what appeared to be a spiritual way. You know, he was with Paul. He was probably there. He might have preached. We're not told whether he did or did not preach. We know that he traveled with Paul and he labored with Paul. He probably did acts of service, acts of mercy, and he probably was engaged and involved and appeared to be an able and capable minister at least for a period of time. And this is something that we need to think about, because this is not just something that happens to those who profess to be believers. This is something that happens to those who profess to be ministers, right? There are ministers who you would think, I've seen this in my ministry, who started out and you thought they were going to set the world on fire and they were going to be faithful, and only, you know, over time they proved to kind of, you know, fall away and disappear, and many of them made shipwreck of their ministries, and many of them made shipwreck of their lives. So it's fair to assume that for a period of time with Demas, he seemed to be an able and an engaged minister. Another thing, it's fair to assume that he, of all people, was in the best of company. I mean, if it just rubs off on us by being around the right people, it should have rubbed off on him, right? I mean, he was around the Apostle Paul. He was around Luke, the beloved physician, one of the writers of the Gospels. Apparently, he was around Mark, at least in some limited sense. He was around the right people. If, you know, if we could just ensure, there's a lot of people, I think, that believe that if they just send their kids to, I made a lady mad one time when I told her, just sending your kids to a Christian school, as good as that may be, doesn't mean that they're going to turn out okay, because, you know, you just don't rub elbows with other Christian kids and somehow they it just rubs into you. You know, there's got to be a work of God in the heart, a personal, individual work of God in the heart. And you got to believe that Demas was in the best of company. I mean, he was with Paul the Apostle. He was with Luke, one of the gospel writers. Paul called Luke the beloved physician. He was with, probably at some time, he was probably with maybe Timothy, maybe Titus. He would have been with the best of company, some very well-known and faithful ministers of the gospel, but, you know, he was with people that truly believed and that were genuine saints, but in the end, there's a concern of whether he himself was a genuine saint and whether he himself really believed. I mean, if you could choose, would you want to be around the Apostle Paul if you're a believer? If you could choose, would you want to be around one of the gospel writers like Luke? And wouldn't you think that they would be a good influence on you, that they would be an encouragement to you, that they would point you in the right direction, that they would speak the truth to you? And yet it doesn't seem to help Demas any. Another thing. It's fair to assume that Demas would have heard the best preaching. I mean, other than hearing Jesus preach, there's nobody in the world I would rather hear preach than Paul the Apostle. I mean, I would love to hear Spurgeon preach. I would love to hear, you know, others down through church history preach. But if I could hear anybody preach other than Jesus, the one that I would choose would be Paul the Apostle. Someone said of Paul, no one ever out-preached him, no one ever out-prayed him, no one ever out-suffered him, no one ever out-loved him, no one ever out-served him. The greatest preacher, the greatest proponent of the Christian faith, other than the Lord Jesus himself, was the Apostle Paul. What a privilege it would have been to have been able to have heard him communicate the gospel in the day and time in which he lived. And Demas had that privilege. Demas was with Paul. He would have heard Paul stand up in a crowd and begin to preach Jesus. He would have, you know, seen Paul probably take individuals and take them and put his arm around them and begin to tell them the wonderful news of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest preacher that ever lived other than the Lord Jesus. And Demas was privileged and blessed to be able to sit under that kind of preaching. You would have thought that it would be impossible for him to be unaffected. And yet we're told what we're told about him. So far we've thought about that it's probably fair to assume he had professed faith in Christ. It's fair to assume that at least for a period of time he appeared to be genuine and real in that profession. For a period of time he appeared to be an able and an engaged minister in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was in and kept the best of company because he was around the Apostle Paul and with Luke, the beloved physician, and probably many others who are mentioned in the New Testament. And he would have heard the best of preaching, the preaching of the mighty Apostle Paul. But then there's something else. It's fair to assume that he witnessed the mighty, life-transforming work of the Holy Spirit. Paul said that his preaching was not with the wisdom of words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He would have seen the Spirit of God working through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. He would have seen the Spirit of God doing the things that only the Spirit of God can do, convicting of sin, illuminating the darkened understanding of those who were blind, and giving life, regenerating those who were dead. He would have witnessed that. He would have seen that. You know, if not many times, he had to have seen it a number of times. He saw the mighty work of the Spirit convicting a sinner of their sin and hopelessness, illuminating their understanding, showing them the truth about themselves and the truth about Jesus, and then imparting spiritual life and regenerating them and giving them the new birth. He would have witnessed that. And he must have been in close proximity to this, one would assume, many times if he was with the Apostle Paul. But it doesn't seem, we don't know for sure, but it doesn't seem that maybe he personally experienced it. That's a fearful thing, isn't it? Isn't it a fearful thing that Judas could have witnessed the things that he witnessed and not personally experienced them? And isn't it a awesome and fearful thing to think that in the case of Demas, he could have been in such close proximity to the greatest Christian preacher that ever lived other than Christ himself, and that he could have witnessed the mighty work of the Spirit in numerous people's lives and never experienced it himself? Number 7. Another thing, I think it's fair to assume that as in the case of every human being, his profession in time was tested. We're not told how, and we're not told when, but it always is. Faith is always tested to prove its genuineness or its lack of genuineness. Faith is always put to the test. It's tested by time and it's tested by trials. Eventually, if we say that we believe in Christ, that will be proven in experience. It will either be proven real or false, true or false. And it will be proven by time and it will be proven by trials. It's fair to assume that the profession of faith that Demas had made was put to the test, and it may have been put to the test by the persecution that Paul the Apostle experienced and that Demas would have experienced if he was in close proximity to Paul. Listen, if Paul gets stoned and you're with him, you might get stoned too. If Paul is imprisoned and you happen to be one of the guys with him, you may find yourself in prison too. If Paul is hated and mocked and slandered and you happen to be in close proximity to him, you may too find yourself hated and mocked and slandered. So it's fair to assume that his profession of faith was put to the test. We're not told when, we're not told how, but I think it's right to say that everybody's faith will be put to the test. Now, three more and I'm done. When we look at this, it's right to believe the Scripture's verdict. And it's not the verdict of, or the opinion of man, it's the verdict of the Scripture. And we're told here that he left Paul, but he left Paul not because of a ministry disagreement. But we're told that he left Paul because he was in love with his present world or this present age. Was it Paul and Barnabas that separated over a disagreement about the apostle or about Mark? Well, even in the text that we read tonight, we discover that eventually Paul, his view of Mark is mended, right? And eventually he says, bring Mark because he's profitable to me for the ministry. Barnabas and Paul had a disagreement, an honest disagreement about the ministry. Now that caused them to divide up, and it caused Paul to take Silas and Barnabas to go in a different direction. But the Lord used that. That was just a difference of opinion, a difference of views regarding the ministry. But that's not what Paul says about Demas. Paul says that he loved this present world, this present age. And we have to accept and believe to be right the Scripture's verdict. The reason that he left Paul was not the right reason. The reason that he had forsaken Paul or deserted Paul and gone to Thessalonica was not because he was going over there to preach or he was going over there to do a work because he had a different view than Paul had about the way the ministry should go. He was going over there because he was in love with this world. And what are we told about loving this world? If any man loves the world, what? The love of the Father is not in him. So we have to accept the Scripture's verdict about Demas here. And because of that, it's right, and we have to see him as a warning, don't we? He is like Lot's wife. He is like Judas. Lot's wife, when Jesus said, "Remember Lot's wife," he was saying, take notice of this woman that had such privilege bestowed upon her that angels were sent to her to deliver her out of the destruction that was coming upon Sodom. And she was told not to look back, but she loved Sodom so much, she turned back and looked, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. And when Jesus says, remember Lot's wife, he's saying, let that be a warning. Judas is also a warning, the one who had so much privilege, who kissed heaven's door and then turned around and went to hell. Demas is that same kind of solemn warning to examine yourself and to continue and persevere in the faith. In these three verses, we're told of a man that at one time was counted among the laborers in the vineyard of the Lord with the Apostle Paul, but who at some point turned around and walked away from Paul because he walked away from Christ because he loved this present world. This is a warning. It's like a sign on the road saying warning ahead. It's like a solemn word to examine yourself and to make sure that you are in the faith and to make sure that you continue in the faith. And then lastly, I think it's right to say that we have to understand that it's possible that he was recovered. We don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. What we're given is a glimpse in time. What Paul writes, he's writing at that particular time. Demas has forsaken me because he loved this present world. But we don't know that God might have broke him, right? That God might have humbled him. We don't know the final chapter. We don't know the final story. Wouldn't it be wonderful to get to heaven and find Demas there? Wouldn't it be wonderful to leave this life and as we're walking among the children of God in eternity to come across one called Demas and we go, well, we read about a Demas in the Bible. He goes, well, I'm sorry what you read. And it was true. I had turned away from the Lord and I was in love with this world, but you know the Lord was great. Peter is an example of that, isn't he? Peter was recovered by the grace of God. And we don't know. Demas may very well have been at some point recovered and rescued by the grace of God. We're given a glimpse in time. He loved this present world. He deserted the Apostle Paul. Paul was brokenhearted and disappointed over this man's failure and this man's sin. But you know what? We don't know the final chapter and we don't know the end of the story. God may have yet reached into his heart and brought him to repentance and he may have been forgiven. So, three little verses. It's a tragic story. What we know of it, but we may not know the end of the story. Someone said to me one time, heaven's going to be full of surprises. I think it will be. And right after they said heaven is going to be full of surprises, here's what they said. There's going to be a lot of people there that you didn't imagine would be. But there's also not going to be people there that you were certain would have been. So heaven will be full of surprises. We don't know about Demas. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this day. Please let this be a warning to our hearts, a signpost on the road to persevere and to examine ourselves. Amen.